So I was 15 years old, and I was driving in a car with a friend, and we were down a dirt road, right? I mean, we all know what dirt roads are around here, being rural. We were in a dirt road, and it's 15 years old. We were just like, you know, hey, let's just go. We're having fun, right? Driving with a friend, 15 years old, on a dirt road, and this dirt road was just like any old, good old Michigan dirt road. This dirt road was full of potholes all over the place. And so as we're driving down this dirt road where my friend was driving, and it was just like driving a little too fast, if you know what I mean, right? Have you ever been 15 years old? And my friend was 16, of course. It was legal. Everything was legal, but driving a little too fast. And so this road, as we were driving down this country road full of potholes, and it was just, we're just kind of talking and not even paying attention to anything was going on. And I'm kind of getting a little nervous in the passenger seat because we're going a little too fast. And you've never been in that situation before where, especially if you're like a driver and you need to be in control, right? That's me. I like to drive. I want to make sure that I'm in control. But to be in the passenger seat was a little difficult. And I'm feeling like, man, we're going a little fast. And I've been through driver's training at that point, and I know, like, yeah, this is something that we've got to be really careful. And I'm just thinking, but, you know, hey, I'm 15. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? And so in an instant, my friend lost control of the car. We hit a crazy pothole. We started going out of control. And of course, as you know, the dirt road is just full of gravel and there's just no traction anymore. And we found ourselves in a spin. And we have lost control and we're probably going 55 miles an hour plus on a dirt road full of potholes. And all of the sudden, in an instant, things stopped. All I remember was the bright light, right? I mean, you hear about that in the movies, the bright light. And walk toward the light, right? Well, I wish I was here to tell you a really, 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 really cool story that, you know, I saw Jesus at the end of the tunnel or something like that, and I was starting to walk in. No, it wasn't like that. All I saw was a bright light. And that bright light was the windshield. Things got brighter as my head moved toward the windshield as we hit a tree at about 45 to 55 miles per hour. And back in the day, if you know, these cars were not made as well as they were made today, and there was no such thing as airbags. I'm dating myself now. We luckily had our seatbelts on, but I saw the bright light, and my head approached the windshield, and then my seatbelt caught me. And my friend in the driver's seat, unfortunately, the steering wheel caught them. And so as we stopped, I'm kind of like coming to, I'm feeling really crazy, like what in the world just happened? I'm like shocked. You kind of freak out. I don't know if you've ever been in a car accident before, but when things stop in an instant, you just kind of go, what just happened? And I look over and my friend is just bleeding. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we're gonna die. And I'm checking myself, and I'm like, my neck hurts, and I remember feeling like where the seatbelt caught me, it just was like, oh man, that does not feel good. But I was worried about my friend, who there was just blood coming out. And so I said, hey, are you okay? And it's like, yeah, I'm okay. Oh, and they're like, my dad's gonna kill me. Right? That's the first thing you think of. My dad's gonna kill me. I just wrecked the car. Well, we call her dad, and it was like, hey, yeah, we got in a car accident. Of course, I call my parents, and both parents just flood to the scene, and the ambulance, and all of that stuff. And we're saying, listen, we're okay by the grace of God. We're okay. But I was just thinking of that time, and it ended up being that God had just protected us some way, somehow, from a small car at 55 miles an hour going out of control, hitting a tree. God protected us some way, somehow. But I think of that instance. I think of that time in my life. I was 15 years old. You know, everything was cool. Everything was great. Everything was fun. There's no way that I'm going to die. But it was that moment where I remembered. All I remember was that bright light. That bright light of when my whole body entered into the windshield over the dash cavity there. I just remember, like, oh my gosh, it would take that long to die. I mean, without a doubt, if I didn't have my seatbelt on, I would have been through the windshield and who knows what. But I wanted to share that story with you. I wanted to share the story of my 15-year-old, that traumatizing event for me, because I wanted to remind you today that we all are going to die. You thought you were coming to church today to feel good. Sorry. I just wanted to let you know we are all going to die. I mean, really, think about it. I mean, we're all in the process of dying. You know, I always say there's a study, I read a study, it was a few years back, that it said, and the report was that the 10 out of 10 people now, 10 out of 10 people die. Thanks. I'll let that sink in a little bit. Rough crowd this morning. Yeah, so, I mean, it's the facts. I mean, if think about it. I know in my life, I'm in my mid-40s, and the things that I do now, my body just doesn't like me anymore. Some of the things that I do, it's like when I was in my 20s, it's like, yeah, I could have done that. And, you know, you just, but now I'm in the process of dying, and my body's letting me know every time I get out of bed, holy cow, you're old. You can't be doing that what you used to do when you're 20 years old. As you wake up with those aches and pains, and like, oh man, my back. We're in the process of dying. That's the facts. I mean, think about it. I mean, you've all been to funerals, unfortunately, but that's the facts of life. I've actually done 2 funerals this month, and it was just, yeah, that is the way life goes, is that we're all going to die. I looked it up, and this is a true state. This is a true fact. 154,000 people die every day. 154,000 people die every day in this world. That is 56 million people per year die. Now that's an interesting statistic. I mean, we just realize that death is a part of life. If you're a mom and dad of little children, that you're probably in the process right now of trying to figure out, how do I explain death to my little ones, right? If your dog dies, or a kitty dies, or a chicken dies, that's helpful, right? You kind of say, well, death is a part of life. So as we as humans, we think of death. We think of what death is, and from time to time, we're like, I don't want to think about death, but we have to think about death once in a while. And so the question I would have for you today is, what's next after death? I mean, what is next after death? And even a better question that you might ask is, how do we get to heaven? I mean, how do we get to heaven when we die? And so what a fantastic question to ask ourselves on Easter Sunday morning. How do you enter into this eternal life in heaven with God? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I want to explain today, briefly this morning, I want to explain the Easter story, if you will, with one word and 4 sentences. One word and 4 sentences. The Easter story, how to get to heaven. One word and 4 sentences. I'm going to be reading out of Colossians chapter 1. That's a book in the Bible, in the New Testament. It's a story. It's a letter written by Paul, Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. If you'd like to grab your phones, you can look at that. If you want to grab a Bible, you can look at that as well, but we will have it on the screen for you this morning. Colossians chapter 1 says this, For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's simple. Let me read it again. For he has rescued. Everybody say rescued.
Rescued.
Rescued. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. And so this one word, the one word today, if you're taking notes or if you want to think about what the Easter story is about in one word, the word is rescued. Rescued. The story of Easter, one word in four sentences this morning. The first word is rescued. So we have to think about what that means. That number one, we have a Father who loves us. We have a Father who loves us. We just read in the passage of Scripture that he had rescued us. He loves us so much. God so loved us. You've heard this passage of Scripture before in John chapter 3. God loved us so much that he gave his only Son. Right? So he rescued us. He came to the rescue because we have a Father that loves us. It's a gift from heaven, from the Father. Now, I don't know about you, and this isn't a Father's Day message per se this morning, but you may have struggled with your earthly father. You may have father wounds, as they call them, right? Like if you've got a dad, maybe you have don't have a dad. Maybe you've not have a relationship with your dad, and that just provides and poses a bunch of situations in one's life. But I'm here to tell you this morning that you have a heavenly Father that loves you. You have a heavenly Father that loves you. And so as we think of this, that God loves us so much that he gave Jesus, the one whom we celebrate today on Easter Sunday morning, that was crucified on Good Friday. He was dead. He was buried. He was put in a grave. And on that third day, he was no longer there. And so we have a Father that loves us. And so we think of this as he loves us so much, he provides rescue. And so the question is always like, I get that, but what do I need rescued from? I mean, what is it that I need rescued from? You keep telling me I need rescued, but what is it that I need rescued from? You see, we need rescue because we've crashed. We've crashed. I mean, so the first thing that we said when we got in that car accident, when we crashed into that tree, like, oh, my dad's going to kill me, right? But the second thing we did was we better call dad because we need help. We need help. In fact, my friend's dad was a great dad, great guy, and he came in with full of grace and love and of course, the concern of, hey, are you guys okay, first and foremost? Don't worry about the car. Are you okay? And so we've crashed our lives. We have crashed our lives through sin. Colossians, same chapter, verse 21, says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. You see, we've crashed. We are separated from God. We have fallen short through sin. And so we've made mistakes in our lives. We have this thing called sin, and that whatever it may look like to you, we have crashed. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 says, we are alienated from God. You know what that word is? Is the alienated. It's like separate. Verse 21 says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. That's me. That's you. We were alienated from God. We were separated. We've crashed the car of our lives through sin. God said to Adam and Eve in the garden that if you sin, you will surely die. It's a consequence of sin. God said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, don't eat this fruit. There's just one rule. That's all you have. Just don't eat it. Or you're going to die. And what did they do? They ate the fruit. And so sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve. And so we not only physically die, but also relationally we die from God. Like there's a separation. We're alienated. We're separated. So the relationship between God and man has been broken. And so we crashed our lives through sin. And so physically we die, relationally we die. There's no more relation between God and man. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were like hop, skipping, and jumping with God. They were just hanging out with him. There was relationship. God just says, hey, you guys, just don't do that. Don't do that. And they're like, okay, whatever. Let's see what happens. And so physically, death entered. Relationally, we were alienated, and also spiritually as well. Spiritually, we were alienated from God and separated. And so through sin, we didn't get to go to heaven. We don't get to go to heaven. That's not an automatic thing. Did you know that? It's not an automatic. We don't get to go to heaven. We end up empty when we're separated from God. We end up nothingness when we're alienated from him. Let me read verse 21 again. It says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies through sin, separated from him by your evil thoughts and your actions. We don't get to go to heaven. We crashed our lives. We crashed our marriages. We crashed our families. We crashed our personal walk. We crashed. And you see, that's the condition of us as humans. One word, rescue. Number one, we've got a father who loves us. Secondly, we've crashed our lives because of sin. And number three, you cannot rescue yourself. Now, this point's tough. This is probably the one that most of us will struggle with today. This is the point where most of us will struggle, because if you're like me, I like to be in control. I like to be in the driver's seat of my life, and I want to make sure that I can do this on my own. You ever been there? We try to rescue ourselves. We try to do things on our own. This is going to be difficult for us. You know, we tell ourselves that we can rescue ourselves. We can rescue ourselves through success, through education. We can rescue ourselves through money, through acquiring of wealth. We can rescue ourselves through multiple things. Or we try to escape from our an inherent understanding of knowledge of our crash. We try to escape. We try to run from God. We try to just try to block it all out. You ever been there before? Like that escape? Something that we do once in a while. Okay, well, we do it a lot. You ever like binge a show on Netflix? Or you're watching TV and you're just like, I just can't stop watching this show because it's so good. They keep going. You see, you'll be like, holy cow, an hour and a half has just gone by and I didn't think about anything. You ever been there? Quit looking at me like you don't watch TV or anything. Shake your heads, yes. I mean, what do you do? Like what I do when I watch TV, what I do is I'm like, dude, give me the remote. I'm just looking for an escape. I'm looking for an escape. An escape from what? My horrible life? No, I'm just looking for a mental break from stress, from anxieties, from things that I'm dealing with, or from work, or from what, you know, you get it. So we go to the TV, we just go to escape. Now, is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. That's it. Now, if you abuse the escape, that's when it gets a little weird. And there's other escapes, of course, that are probably can be a little bit more dangerous. And it starts with, you know, hey, I'm just gonna, I'm just going to start drinking here a little bit. And then the escape comes, and you're like, oh, man, that felt good. I didn't think about anything, so I'm just going to keep drinking. Or, hey, I'm just going to do this drug. Or I'm just going to sit down at a buffet and just escape. Right? I mean, this isn't one of those sermons. I'm just saying we try to escape our condition. And we try to rescue ourselves from the heart condition of sin. So we'll do anything possible. And of course, as good stand-up upright Christians and churchgoers, you know, there's even that escape that maybe we say, oh, I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be a part of a church to escape and try to rescue myself. And the facts are, church, you can't rescue yourself. You can't rescue yourself. The Father has provided rescue for you. So number four, the Father has provided rescue for you. So the Easter story, one word is rescue. The four sentences is we have a Father who loves us. We've crashed our lives. You cannot rescue yourself, but praise be to God. This is where it gets fun. This is what Easter Sunday morning is all about. Is that your Father has provided your rescue. This is the good news. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament of the Bible, it said that we need to hold fast because a Messiah will come to rescue you. And so years and years and years went by, in as we read in the Old Testament, hundreds of years went by. They were hoping and waiting for the Messiah. And then on that beautiful Christmas morning, the Messiah came. His name's Jesus. And as we think about this, we have to hold fast for the Redeemer to come. And so as we think of this, Jesus lived, breathed, ministered on this earth for 33 years. And then he was crucified, the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. You see, the Bible says without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And that's the idea here, is that throughout the Old Testament, God provided a way to sacrifice in order to redeem our sins through lambs and sheep and pigeons. And you can make a sacrifice for your sin in the Old Testament. But Jesus came and he provided the ultimate sacrifice for our sins once and for all. The Father has provided your rescue. And so Jesus, it was him. Let me read Colossians chapter 1. I'm kind of bouncing around, but I'm staying in chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. For God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and earth by means of Christ's blood on the shed cross, on the cross. Isn't that a beautiful thing? For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And so we have peace. We have reconciliation. We have been rescued because Jesus died on a cross, and he broke the chains of sin and death by resurrecting on the third day, showing that he was truly God. See, our debts have been paid. Our debt has been paid. We have been rescued. You crashed your life. I crashed my life. And we just simply called, Father, I need your help. I need you. I can't do this on my own. Our debts have been paid. You see, here it is. As soon as you get this, if you knew that you had a Father who loves you, if you knew that you have crashed your life through sin, if you knew that you cannot rescue yourself, if you knew that he has provided rescue through Jesus Christ, you would say yes to him today. You would say yes to Jesus. you would say, I welcome you into my heart and into my life. If you knew that you have a Father who loves you and wants to rescue you, that you've crashed your life through sin, that you cannot rescue yourself, that he's provided rescue through Jesus, if you knew that today, you would say yes right now. You'd simply say, I need rescue. And maybe you're in here today and you've said that years and years ago, and that's fantastic. That's what calls us. That's what we're called, Christians. We want to live like a Christ-like life. And so you're in here today and you've said yes to Jesus. But there may be some in here that have never said yes. There may be some watching online this morning who has never said yes to Jesus. And the realization is just coming over your life right now that, yeah, I need rescue. I need rescue. I'm going to ask you to make a decision today. Will you say yes to Jesus? Will you say yes to the rescue and just realize that you need a Father to come and rescue you from your crash? And so I don't know if there's any in here today that just, as I asked this question this morning, maybe you've never said yes to Jesus before. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Is there anybody that just says, yeah, I need to say yes? That I just need to say yes to Jesus and accept the forgiveness of sin. If you're online this morning and you're in the comfort of your own home, and just say yes. Just type it in the comments. Say, yes, I need to say yes to Jesus today. Just raise your hand. Anybody else? I mean, it's not a shameful thing that we're all in the same boat. We've all crashed. Thank you. Thank you. We just have to say yes to Jesus and say, I accept him as my Savior, as the one who provides for me the solution to my mess. I'm so thankful I've done that years ago. And so today on this Easter Sunday morning, I want to encourage you just to give thanks. Thanks to the Father for rescuing us. If you've raised your hand in here today, I want to encourage you just to pray a simple prayer. God can hear you. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to say it out loud. But just say a simple prayer and we'll all join with you and just say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I've crashed my life. I need rescue. I accept Jesus into my heart, to my life, to be Lord over everything. And I look to you for everything in my life. Amen. It's as simple as that. Yet, moving forward in your relationship with him today is the most important decision that you'll ever make. So today, I want to say thank you to those who have raised their hands. And I just want to celebrate with you, because as we as Christians, those who have said yes years ago, maybe you said yes a week ago, maybe you said yes a month ago, we celebrate together on this beautiful Easter Sunday morning because we have been saved, we've been rescued. And so we're going to spend some time, we're going to sing a couple more songs, and we're just going to say yes and give praise and give adoration because he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Amen.